Well, as Colin has mentioned, as you can and you will hear in our music, we are beginning a new year in the church. And it will begin in the same anticipation that Christians have had for almost 2,000 years now. We anticipate the return of Christ, much in the same way that we celebrate him being born in the world. There is great anticipation this morning leading us off in the same way that we will awaken on the morning that Christ has been born. And that's an exciting time. And now the second coming of Jesus, which is also an anticipation, marks the beginning and an end. We hear a lot of really difficult things this morning in the gospel that are going to take place and have taken place. The end is the end of strife and battles. It is the end to the evil of this world. All of those signs that Jesus notes at the end being near will themselves come to an end. This marks a world that is going to change and all will be made new in Christ. This is what we look forward to in Advent, the newness. When we are told of Jesus' imminent return, we as Christians have hope in that reality. It's what draws us here. Many things that will pass away and will be destroyed, but we anticipate something new and something much more glorious. In the meantime, that may be difficult for us to believe or accept. We may even be overcome with despair and the challenges of this life. It is important to remember that the hope we can experience is inextricably tied to the return of Christ. In our creed, we say, Christ will come again. If we think about it in the way that was first put to us, in the language that was first put to us, we would say that Christ is coming again. And the is coming is quite expectant. It's as though it is already taking place, that it is in motion. He is already on his way. And it is an imminent return. Could happen at any time. The signs and the wonders have been put forward and can happen at any time. So some are tempted to say, well, it's been nearly 2,000 years. What are we waiting for? What is taking place? But if we consider that Jesus is talking about the things that will happen within the next generation, and then we read how many of those things have happened, it begins to make more sense. He gives them an idea of the signs of the second coming. And he also reminds them that there will be a time of waiting and that the Christian life is not going to be the easiest path during that time. There will be dangerous and trying times. The followers of Jesus will not always be welcome in society. There will be true challenges. There may even be the targets of destruction and violence. Remember also that when they are hearing about these things that are taking place, they did not have instant communication as we do, the worldwide communication. Something happens in Australia, we can know about it within a minute. No matter where it is in the world, we know about it within moments. And this is not the communication, obviously, of their time. Much of their news came through word of mouth. And that word of mouth could take often days, weeks, or months. And all that information traveling on the world would often be conflated or maybe even confused. So Jesus is warning them to be on their guard, to be prepared, to think about what is coming. And in the midst of all the things that are to take place, they have heard about the destruction of the temple. This would be really surprising and difficult news. For an analogous perspective, imagine that someone told you that the White House, or maybe the Lincoln Memorial, or even the National Cathedral were going to be razed to the ground. Just as we would be overwhelmed, they were overcome with the grief of knowing that this could take place. But even with these things that were going to take place, and even with all the rumors that would ensue, Jesus is more concerned with them about how they will live through these times, how they will be treated, how they will be prepared. As king, he does not attempt to stop these things. He prepares a way for us, a way to be with him. And so although Christians will be given the Holy Spirit while Jesus leaves to be with his Father in heaven, they will bear the burden as his followers. Jesus is encouraging them to persevere. Hold tight. Be strong in the Holy Spirit. The story of the first generation of Christianity, the time between the resurrection of Jesus and the fall of the temple in AD 70, bears out many of these prophecies. And many early Christians would testify that Jesus had indeed been with them and given them words to say. This passage speaks clearly to a time of persecution and trial in the church. Again, this is a heavy gospel. Because many Christians throughout the world suffer for the name of Christ, and they need prayers and they need support of those who live in places of relative acceptance. We pray for them in our prayers of the people. We pray for Christians worldwide who are challenged. We do that each Lord's Day, every Sunday when we gather here together. Also, God is offering for us to be prepared for the challenging days to come. We have the promise that the Lord is our righteousness, which means that we are made complete in Christ. And these are the things that we are learning during this time of waiting. Advent is a short time of waiting, obviously. But as Christians, we have been waiting for hundreds of years. We learn ahead of time so that when the time of trial, we may persevere, as our brothers and sisters in Christ have done. The promised coming of Christ and the time that we wait for him is a time of worship, of study, of learning, and we become obedient to all that God asks of us. So do not wait until the times are tough. Perseverance is built now. It is for the hard days ahead. And as Christians, we live in the hopefulness. This is the message of Christ, is one of hopefulness. While we have a snippet of a gospel that sounds really challenging and difficult, it is placed very fully in the midst of hope and perseverance in the name of Christ. We are looking forward to the new creation, the very thing that Jesus has gone ahead of us to do. He is preparing a place for us. It is a true joy to know that this creation is not an afterthought or a plan B. In our sin, Jesus did not decide that he would come down and work things out. The Father in heaven did not suddenly decide that his son must go. This was not plan B. We live under the care, love, and nurture of a Savior who has always desired to be with us. God, our Father in heaven, has always desired this for us. And it's a beautiful image. And it's a beautiful truth. Our lives here on earth are quite difficult and even challenging. The holidays, this time of Advent, this can be a challenging time for people. But what we have is we have the hope of Christ to live forever in eternity, carrying on with the worship. So to be in Christ does not mean that our lives will be better, because we will still be facing life's challenges and difficulties. But what we as Christians have is the hope of what it means to live eternally in Christ, as brothers and sisters of Christ, sons and daughters of the King. We are destined to be in the presence of our Father in heaven as part of a new creation. Again, the joy of Advent is that anticipation. This is our glorious future. As N.T. Wright notes, he says, the goal is achieved by the power of sheer mercy and grace. the mercy and grace through which creation is not abolished, but fulfilled. Not thrown away and replaced, but renewed from top to bottom. If you think about it, we live this each week. We gather each Lord's Day, and we prepare to go out into the world knowing that Jesus will fulfill his promise to prepare a place for us, and we will live with him as sons and daughters of the King. This is what we do each week, sort of a little Advent, a bit of hopefulness each week as we head out into the world awaiting the kingdom to come. So in this Advent season, my encouragement to you is embrace the time set apart to wait on the Lord's return, when he will return in great glory, and when he will share the news of heaven and a new earth with a world that he loves. So prepare for the days ahead. Do them with great joy. Do them in the mercy and grace of God, knowing that his salvation is very near. Because Christ meets you. He meets each of us here at the altar. We come each week and we participate, and we are welcomed. We are welcomed by Christ in his body and his blood. And he prepares each of us to persevere in his name. Amen.